Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
The leader of the Buffalo Catholic Diocese is responding to a group calling for his ouster. A letter signed by five local Catholics and sent to the Vatican accused Bishop Michael Fisher of having, quote, no presence in this community and, quote, virtually no ministry or outreach to the poor. Fisher told the Buffalo News that the letter was, quote, unquote, disheartening because I'm, quote, a pastor at heart. In December of 2020, Pope Francis named Fisher the 15th bishop of the Buffalo Diocese. The letter also accused Fisher of using parish donations to, quote, feed hungry lawyers as the diocese works through the many settlements related to the clergy sexual abuse scandal. A state designation is highlighting a troubling health disparity. Black women who give birth are five times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women. The Department of Health is recognizing Black Maternal Health Week with the theme, Our Bodies Still Belong to Us, Reproductive Justice Now. Officials say the issue was addressed in part with the creation of a doula directory and the allocation of $4.5 million to support regional perinatal centers. And the Buffalo Zoo is undertaking a new initiative aimed at making the institution accessible to more community members. On Thursday, Zoo President and CEO Lisa Smith announced the Zoo for All program in an effort to connect with families of all backgrounds. The program includes discounted admission for low-income families with the presentation of their SNAP electronics benefits transfer card. A Buffalo man could spend the rest of his life in prison after he was sentenced for the shooting of his former girlfriend. According to the Erie County District Attorney's Office, 36-year-old Christopher Walters was given the maximum sentence of 25 years to life because he was considered a persistent violent felony offender. Walters' girlfriend was struck by birdshot ammunition during an argument in their shared Martha Avenue apartment. Walters was later apprehended in Florida by U.S. Marshals and brought back to Western New York to face prosecution in May of 2021. He was found guilty of attempted murder and other charges after jurors deliberated for nearly 6 hours on January 12th. And a Wyoming County water treatment plant will receive a major upgrade using a mix of federal and state dollars. State officials say the facility in the village of Perry will undergo an overhaul after receiving a $2 million grant from the bipartisan infrastructure law. Another $3 million has been issued by the state's Water Infrastructure Grant Program. The project will upgrade the raw water intake chemical feed system and the elevated water storage tank in Perry.
This live stream of WBFO is made possible by Canisius University. At Canisius University, Griffs know there is no progress without action. Moved by compassion and courage, they look at the world and say, "We can do better," and then do it. Canisius University, where leaders are made.
The New York State budget is now 10 days late. As we hear now from Albany correspondent Karen DeWitt, one of the items holding up a deal is a housing package that would build new affordable housing and strengthen tenant protections.
It's the second year in a row that Governor Kathy Hochul and the state legislature have tried to enact plans that would ease the state's affordable housing crisis. This year, a scaled-back proposal would offer grants to communities who agree to sign a pro-housing pledge. It would also revive a tax break for real estate developers who include affordable housing in their projects. The biggest sticking point, though, is over tenants' rights. Progressives in the legislature want to enact a proposal known as good cause eviction. It would prevent landlords from evicting tenants without a good reason, and it would cap rent increases at around 3%. Landlord groups are pushing back against the measure, though, saying it would further depress the long-term rental market. Senate Republican Minority Leader Robert Ort says the housing proposal does nothing for areas outside of New York City, and he predicts good cause eviction would be a disaster.
Which is essentially tenancy for life. And good cause is nothing more than a direct attack on private property rights in this state.
Even some Democrats in the legislature have been reluctant to vote on good cause. The measure died last year. Meanwhile, tenants' rights groups fear the measure will be watered down in any final housing agreement. Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins earlier in the week said there are a number of moving parts in the housing package. She says nothing has been decided yet.
We want to be able to build, and we want to be able to protect tenants. And so because there are so many elements to this housing package, short-term, long-term, there's so many stakeholders involved, you know, to get a complete package with everyone seeing progress in what it is we are trying to achieve and actually attaining and achieving that progress is where we really need to land.
Senator Stuart Cousins says she believes a housing package will come together, but she can't say when. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And we're going backward in time. We have White Devil Jacobean Revenge Tragedy at the ART, the American Repertory Theater of Western New York. And for something completely different, Gutenberg, the musical about two guys pitching an unwittingly bad musical misrepresenting the life and career of the famed printer, Gutenberg.
So pretty opposite, I gather. Gutenberg over at the Cavanocchi should be full of laughs as these two goofballs take on all the roles and sing all the songs of this musical they're pitching. And meanwhile, The White Devil is truly one of those great revenge tragedies from the 17th century.
Yeah, this is Jacobean tragedy. This is John Webster, not to be confused with Noah or Daniel. Sort of the late Shakespeare group of people. The Elizabethan tragedies, of course, a lot of the same elements. The Elizabethans loved their blood and guts and gore, where the Italians took a neoclassical model where, like the Greeks, you may recall from college, the violence happened off stage. Oh, not in England. We want to see that. And as the years go by, as you go from the Elizabethan, which is easy to comprehend, it's Elizabeth, so it's Elizabethan, then it's James, so naturally we call that Jamesian, oh no, Jacobean.
But wait, it gets better.
Yes, Charles, Caroline, of course. And so this is the in-between. This is Jacobean. And by the time we get to the Caroline and 'tis pity she's a whore, good heavens, it's all up for grabs. But in this one, it is two married people wanting to be with each other. And so naturally you do what any reasonable person would do. You commit murder. And then friends go to avenge that with increasing levels of debauchery. And this complicated from the beginning because the escalation of revenge, of course, these characters are committing crimes, but to the delight of the audience.
And this will sort of take us from Shakespeare, let's say Hamlet, which ends with a lot of dead bodies on the stage.
Yes.
Well, forward to, you were telling me that Carolinian plays, after a while they just drop all pretense of plot, introspection, all of the things that make Hamlet, Hamlet, and just go for the gore.
Well, they are heavily plotted, but the introspection, yes, definitely does begin to go by the wayside a bit.
Well, I have a question, which is, so revenge begets revenge begets revenge. Where does it end? How does the playwright know that it's over?
Somebody's dead. That's what ends it. Yeah. And typically everyone's dead. But yeah, thus the tragedy. And there are a lot of Jacobean elements, what we would call Jacobean elements to Hamlet, which is an Elizabethan play. But you just, Elizabeth dies in 1603, and it's not as if styles change abruptly. It's a gradual evolution. And then it's James makes it to 1625, and then poor Charles, not a very effective administrator or chief financial officer, though he reigns till 1649. By 1642, the Puritans are in and theater is outlawed in England. I don't know if people know or recall that that even happened, that the height of Elizabethan drama and Shakespeare to theater being outright outlawed is within one lifetime. So a thrilling period of history. And this play, The White Devil, which was not even popularly performed from its first outing until the 20th century, but it is done from time to time because of the deliciousness of the escalating revenge.
Well, it's presented by American Repertory Theater of Western New York, there at their stage at 545 Elmwood Avenue. And this might even have been put on at, I'm thinking, Irish Classical. Takes us from Tis Pity She's a Whore, which they've done, which takes us from Hamlet, which I know they've done, all the way to Tis Pity She's a Whore, which I know they've done. But not in this case. This case, the honors go to American Repertory Theater. So good for them.
Good for them. Great storytelling everywhere. Well, Gutenberg, not great storytelling, but that's the fun of that.
And you were thinking that Gutenberg, the musical, is going to appeal to folks who loved Something Rotten.
Yeah, it does remind me of Something Rotten, where they're trying to concoct the musical Omelette. which they've heard what Shakespeare's the greatest play is going to be through of Nostradamus, but he gets a few things wrong and they're trying to write the musical Omelet. Yeah, so it's the story of these earnest theater practitioners working on a very bad musical. And Gutenberg does have that in common, so.
Well, something rotten will come to musical fair, but not until next fall. But right now, it's Gutenberg over at the Cavanocchi.
Gutenberg at the Cavanocchi, the white devil at ART. For Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.